There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Big day, big day. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. The kind of day that enough news has come out in the last couple of hours could even push Mobile investigating strip club stories down the stack. Believe it or not, that may or may not make it into today's Midday Mobile. Coming up, we will talk to Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl. He'll join us in hour number two. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us here in just about half an hour, talking from Montgomery here at the end of session. But first, yeah, the big, big story, and that is the national story with Mueller retiring. Right? He's out. He's going back to private life, but not before giving his two cents. The president has tweeted already about this. Probably even had it pre-typed, maybe. President Trump tweeting, "Nothing changes from the Mueller report. There was insufficient evidence, and therefore, in our country, a person is innocent. The case is closed. Thank you." Is that a nothing to see here? Here it is. So a lot of people who have been like busy working, we appreciate that in our country, did not get to hear the 9 or so minutes of the Mueller report. You're lucky, because here it is right now. We'll start off the hour, and this is what Mueller had to say about his report. These are his statements from about an hour and a half ago.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. 2 years ago, the acting attorney general asked me to serve as special counsel, and he created the special counsel's office. The appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Now, I have not spoken publicly during our investigation. I'm speaking out today because our investigation is complete. The Attorney General has made the report on our investigation largely public. We are formally closing the special counsel's office, and as well, I'm resigning from the Department of Justice to return to private life. I'll make a few remarks about the results of our work. But beyond these few remarks, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. Let me begin where the appointment order begins, and that is interference in the 2016 presidential election. As alleged by the grand jury in an indictment, Russian intelligence officers, who were part of the Russian military, launched a concerted attack on our political system. The indictment alleges that they used sophisticated cyber techniques to hack into computers and networks used by the Clinton campaign. They stole private information and then released that information through fake online and identities and through the organization WikiLeaks. The releases were designed and timed to interfere with our election and to damage a presidential candidate. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. These indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or the innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system, They needed to be investigated and understood, and that is among the reasons why the Department of Justice established our office. That is also a reason we investigated efforts to obstruct the investigation. The matters we investigated were of paramount importance. It was critical for us to obtain full and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of the government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider. The department's written opinion explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from them, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is the office's final position, and we will not comment on any other conclusions or hypotheticals about the president. We conducted an independent criminal investigation and reported the results to the Attorney General, as required by department regulations. The Attorney General then concluded that it was appropriate to provide our report to Congress and to the American people. At one point in time, I requested that certain portions of the report be released. The Attorney General preferred to make the entire report public all at once, and we appreciate that the Attorney General made the report largely public, and I certainly do not question the Attorney General's good faith in that decision. Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner. I am making that decision myself, No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself. And the report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress. In addition, access to our underlying work product is being decided in a process that does not involve our office. So beyond what I've said here today and what is contained in our written work, I do not believe it is appropriate for me to speak further about the investigation or to comment on the actions of the Justice Department or Congress. And it's for that reason I will not be taking questions today as well. Now, before I step away, I want to thank the attorneys, the FBI agents, the analysts, the professional staff who helped us conduct this investigation in a fair and independent manner. These individuals, who spent nearly 2 years with the special counsel's office, were of the highest integrity. And I will close by reiterating the central allegation of our indictments, that there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. And that allegation deserves the attention of every American. Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
All right. That is a high, fancy, legalese way of saying, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying on his way out the door. So much to talk about here. We'll do it when we come back. I'll also talk to you at 343-0106. On the way.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1222, FM Talk 106.5. At Midday Mobile, you know, were there new pieces of information that came out? I would agree with the president's tweet, and no, but I would disagree that the tenor was the same that came out of Attorney General Barr with those pieces of information. The accent, the English put on the cue ball by Robert Mueller was very different than Barr. And I want to get to it, like, in the middle of this conversation. I think we're there about 2.5 to 3 minutes, I think, are key to this. And I will say as well, I got to figure that we're going to hear, I don't know, within the next few days, the impeachment chatter go to the point of impeachment votes in the House. We'll look into this more. But yeah, let's go back to that middle, that 3 minutes there in the middle that starts with the second part of the investigation. Let's roll that now.
And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
That's
we did not, however, make a determination.
That's one of the keys right there, that he says this again, but the way he says it.
As to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
Okay, so there was the there's the meat that I think has a lot of people talking, may even move the wheels in the House with the Democrats there. The OLC memo, you know, that they talked about, the inside counsel there, tied his hands were tied, he said in so many words, he couldn't do anything about it. But he's not saying there was a crime, but he's saying he couldn't do anything about it if there was. But why would you say that if you didn't want to telegraph that you thought there was a crime, right? I mean, why? What would be the purpose of doing that if you didn't? If you didn't want to, on the way out here, just do a jab move here. I would argue, too, though, that when is it the job of a prosecutor, which you could say he's an investigator, but a prosecutor to some degree, when is it your job to talk about the stuff that you're not going to, the crimes that, you know, that you're not going to pursue? I mean, is that, and maybe there's prosecutors listening, is that part of normal process there? I mean, prosecutors got to figure out if they got to prove, right, that someone committed an offense, something against the law that they're going to be charged for, right? They're presenting to a grand jury so they can move it on into a court of law. You don't, I don't think as a prosecutor you bring up the things you can't move on. I don't know, but I mean, this is like a, you know, on the way out, just by the way, I'm not saying anything. I'm going to translate it into Sullivanese. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying is what I think Mueller was doing. So if he is not saying, I mean, is he giving the checkered flag there for some sort of move to actually, instead of just talking about impeachment, have Democrats in the House move for this? Now, remember, the House that's dominated by Democrats can bring up this impeachment, but then, of course, it would go to the Senate, where I don't see any chance of it moving forward. You've got the, basically, the grand jury would be the House, and the sitting jury would be the Senate on this. So is there enough to go? And if there's nothing prosecutable, is there something impeachable in this? Interesting here. Let's go to Paul in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean. I know you all know the answer to this question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
several weeks ago, there was all over the internet, there was a letter of a list of past prosecutors who said that they thought there was plenty of evidence for a prosecution of obstruction of justice. It started off, it was about 300 and different prosecutors who had signed this letter. And the last time I saw it, it was about 500. Do you know what the final count on that was?
Got no idea. I think the interesting question here is, you've got one, you know, one level that's the question of, could they prosecute? But Mueller says, I'm not going to tell y'all, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying that I couldn't prosecute because of this, you know, fact that it's unconstitutional. He goes on twice to talk about the constitutionality of charging a president, that was not an option. In doing that, are we to believe that he's saying, but there is a crime there, so hey, impeachment process, pick this up? Is that what you take away from it? I mean, you're somebody that despises the president, so.
Basically, you know, there is an argument of whether the president is, I'm not sure that's constitutional that you can't. That was a Department
that's
of Justice.
Hey, that's Mueller written. Saying it. Mueller saying it, who's pretty steeped in what's law and what's not law, right?
Yeah, but I like to say, I hear a lot of other people. Now, did you report this letter, this list of these 300 to 500 ex-prosecutors who said that they thought that they could? Did you report that on your show?
I don't know if I did or not. Was it reported on the station? I don't know.
Oh, but you didn't, did you?
I don't think I did. I don't know.
Oh.
I remember what I did yesterday. So what's your point?
Well,
go for it, Paul. Go for the kill, man. Come on, I'm just sitting here. Sitting here. I'm unarmed, man. Just come at me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. A little closer. Paul?
Paul? What's the question?
Paul, no, I just got, you think you've got some kind of, you always call in like I'm responsible for what anybody's ever said in conservative media. So come on, man. Do it. Go for it.
I'm just asking you.
That's why nobody came at Mr. Miyagi.
If you knew what the final number was.
I have no idea, because it's like, what does that have any bearing on anything else? It's an opinion piece. How is that play in that some people think this and some people think that? The people in charge said it's unconstitutional to make this. I think the more interesting, if I was you, I'd be arguing, hey, Sean, do you want a president to get by because of a constitutional question, a nuance of semantics? You should have gone with that, but you didn't, and time ran out, and... Just Mr. Miyagi, stand here. Come at me. Come on. Look at me. If I didn't have this beard, you could see my rosy cheeks. Sweet-looking face. Nice guy. What could happen to you? Nothing, huh? Yeah.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Love to hear from you. 343-0106. 343-0106. Interesting. This is why... Just maybe like twice a year, it's good not to have your wagon hitched to anyone, isn't it? I think there's some subtlety there I think is interesting. I mean, what the president has been saying, he has been found guilty of no collusion, and that is exactly what Mueller said in the report, right? In his address. He said just that. But then on the flip side, Mueller did the old, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. He pulled one of those. So what does he know? And then you know, you say that, then you say, I'm not going to take any more questions. Dang it! You do that. George says, and how could he charge collusion and not obstruction? How does he have the ability to charge one crime and not the other? Well, it's going to be, you know, what you can charge. He's saying he can't charge any of them against the sitting president because the OLC opinion, because of constitutionality. So it would... What I'm getting at is yes, just like the president said in his tweet, that is accurate. President, if you didn't catch this earlier, President Trump tweeted right after the Mueller address, said nothing changes from the Mueller report. There was insufficient evidence, and therefore in our country a person is innocent. The case is closed. Thank you. Lord knows I don't need to tell that man how to do things if he became president of the United States, but why would you say there was insufficient evidence? Why would you say because you didn't do anything if you believe you didn't? But then Mueller says, well, maybe. So, I mean, I don't think I'm delving too deeply. This is not full Indiana Jones Temple of Doom explorer here that says Mueller just gave the checkered flag to Democrats and wanted some go-ahead to move with the articles of impeachment. Of course, they would move that in the House, and then it would go to the Senate where it doesn't go anywhere, at least as it stands right now, unless something big changes. All right, to the phones. Love to hear from you. 343-0106. Thomas and Theodore, first up. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me on. I think your analysis is spot on. As far as the English, Mueller, he was nervous, you could tell.
Yep.
In his listening to his voice quiver at times. But the English that he put on the cue ball, he put draw on it. He hit the eight ball, and it was going towards the pocket. He put draw on the English the cue ball, so it would come back to him and wouldn't follow the eight ball in the hole.
Right.
But he missed the eight ball. It didn't go in the hole. He didn't win the game. And I also, an hour ago, when I first heard it, that sentence also came out and struck me that he said that if we had evidence that said he did not obstruct justice, we would have said so. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. When have you heard a prosecutor? I mean, and I'm asking this is a real question. This is not rhetorical here. I'd love to hear from people. Would a prosecutor in a, let's say, whatever case, you know, the bank robbery case or whatever, go on to say what they wouldn't prosecute or they couldn't prosecute? That's strange to me.
Really? Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, Thomas, thank you. I mean, y'all follow what I'm asking. Like, I don't know, and maybe there is. Maybe there's some example of it that I'm not aware of, but isn't it weird to you that you would go on and say, in this case, I mean, a prosecutor would, or in this case, a head of the special counsel, would be saying what they could prosecute for, not what they couldn't prosecute for. I don't think I've heard that before. Maybe it's out there. Let's go to John in Mobile next. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. I have just one question. The first question for Robert Mueller. He stated he did not have confidence that the president did not commit a crime. Well, the first question that would come to mind is, does he have confidence that the president did commit a crime?
Right. It's this, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. You know, and I want to say, what are you saying? Just spit it out.
If he didn't have confidence he did commit a crime, does he have confidence that he did commit a crime? So that would end it right there.
Yeah, John, I'm with you. And I think for people, there's like seven people left in this country that try to look at this independently and aren't already on our sides. But I would say, I think people want to know, if the president did commit some high crime here, you know, and you can prove it, then go ahead and prove it. We, you know, just slip a letter to the House Democrats. They can move forward with impeachment. They can send that to the Republicans in the Senate, and they can get that going. But if you don't have it, then shut up.
And he said he's not going to testify
to
anything other than what's in the report. Well, he's subpoenaed, whether he's retired from the Justice Department, he's a civilian, he's subpoenaed. He's got to show up and answer what they ask him.
Yeah, and I wonder how fast it's going to take. You would think if Democrats are going to move to impeach here, they would be calling him on day one.
Oh, I can't change it to the other station, Sean. I just know what's going on.
Okay, appreciate it. I don't know what that meant, but okay. And I'm looking through text coming in. Listen, this is agreed, just like what the president said. This is not new information. The information is not new. The eight ball, like Thomas and I were just talking about, the eight ball is still the eight ball. It's still the information that's been out, but the English put on that shot and then just walked away from is at least begs question. And with that, I think, as I've been saying to the Democrats, hey, if y'all are just quit talking about impeachment, if you're going to do it, just go for it. Go for it. See what you can do. Go for it. Make your move. Make your play now. And I think if they don't do it now, they really shown that they're not going to do it. So those Democrats are rah, rah, rah from their representatives. Oh, they'll impeach. Y'all, if your folks don't do it now, they're not going to do it. Not going to do it. I mean, for Mueller to come up and say, well, charging the president with a crime is not an option. I can't charge the president with a crime. By the way, did y'all know I couldn't charge the president with a crime? I mean, you don't have to hear that too many times to, you don't have to read too far between the lines of what Mueller says he's thinking. So, like John said, if you're a Democrat there and you're looking to subpoena somebody, you would subpoena Mueller, right? And ask him why he thinks, why did he say that? What does he feel about that? What is the reason about that? We'll see where the spin machine on both sides is going wide open. I'm trying to cut through it here and get some idea of what might happen next. Isn't that what's important going forward, what might happen next? As I can tell you all this, what's going to happen next here in just a second is State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us. We'll talk with him about a couple issues. Number one, remember that, and I got a question the other day about this, his PJ bill? No, not pajamas, the police jurisdiction bill. The question was, you know, should municipalities be in the business of extending their police and fire jurisdictions outside their city limits? And a bill moving that was going to make it easier for municipalities to pull back from that. We'll talk about that. Of course, no lotto. And where does that go? The medical marijuana. And most importantly, he was on with us last week. Remember talking about, hey, the toll is too much. I'm going to try to get something done through LDOT and Governor Ivey to work on these tolling amounts, and we'll see what's happened with that coming up in just a second. Also, take your phone calls and text at 343-0106. And coming up after 1 o'clock, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, also candidate for AL1, joins us. A lot to talk about with him. So it's all coming up on today's Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5. And a reminder, shows on the road on Friday. Friday, we're taking this show to Mobile Bay Coins, hanging out with Angelo, Ron, Nancy, the whole gang, the dogs out there, and hopefully you. So plan to come see us. Live show, noon to 2. Well, it's always a live show, but live show there at Mobile Bay Coins, noon to 2 on Friday with FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. And we'll take it from Washington up to or down to Montgomery from Capitol Hill to Goat Hill. And check in with State Senator Chris Elliott. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
Thanks for having me. It's getting pretty hairy up here the last couple of days of session, so I appreciate you moving time around for us a little bit.
Hey, no problem. You think that's going to be it this week? I mean, that's the strong rumor.
I think so. I think we'll be out of here by Friday.
Okay. So y'all got a lot of work. I mean, there's still stuff that has to be done, let alone you want to do.
Well, necessity sometimes is a good thing, and it gets people moving around. The House has been notoriously slow on moving some legislation. They started to pick up the pace, but they tend to take a little bit longer to get things out of the body. The Senate's been moving things along pretty quickly.
No, you don't have to
wait on them to catch up, if you will.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Lotto or anything. That's done. So, you know,
yeah, that's a whole other show, Sean. I'm seriously considering introducing another bill next year, and we may take that up again. Sometimes it's good to let other ideas meet their maker before you bring in a better bill.
All right. Let's talk about a bill that at the beginning of session you and I were talking about. And last time you were on, I got two different messages about this saying, where is the PJ bill? And I don't know the actual number of it, the SB number.
Sure. It's SB 23, and the police jurisdiction bill is sitting in committee in the House and has not gotten out yet. So the likelihood that it makes it out this session is probably pretty slim. That's obviously fairly frustrating, but anybody that's been around the legislature for any length of time that will tell you that a complicated piece of legislation like that oftentimes takes many different legislative sessions to get through, and that will probably be the case with that one as well. You know, you and I have talked about that bill a lot, and I've talked with a lot of other folks about it. There's been some good movement on that bill, but it will be one that is reintroduced next session if it doesn't come out of committee and get on the floor in the House. So it's one I believe in. I think taxation without representation is a serious issue. I think municipalities exercising wide-ranging authority outside of their corporate limits is an issue, and we intend to fix it.
Okay, and let's talk about something that's not directly what you're doing inside Senate chambers, but definitely in Montgomery, and that is a push to do something about these proposed toll amounts for the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge project.
Absolutely. That's something we are working on, both in the legislature and with the governor's office, and that is exploring additional funding methods and mechanisms to try to reduce the toll on the bridge. I will tell you there is a bill in the House when they go back into session today, which will be this afternoon, that is on the special order calendar. It's my bill, Senate Bill 154. And what it does is it provides tax breaks, essentially. It makes it the construction of a large portion of the bridge not subject to state sales, taxes, gross receipts, taxes, et cetera. The fiscal note on that, Sean, the savings on that is $100 million.
Wow.
For the bridge project. And it has passed through the Senate, and I hope that it will pass through the House here today. That is real savings, which means real reduced costs, which means real reduced tolls for our folks on the coast.
Okay. So what about the conversation I had last week? I was talking about, talk about which one, since we talk about the subject so much. But I had Congressman Bradley Byrne on, and talking about where the federal money was. He said, look, in this environment, as basically what we had talked about before, the idea of there being some infrastructure package that the Democrats sign on with, with the Republicans and the president for, is not going to happen, right? I mean, that the chances of that happening in the next year for sure, fair to say probably zero?
I certainly would trust Congressman Byrne's judgment more on that than my own, but I will say that is exactly what I am hearing from my friends in Washington, is that that we're on our own right now for the foreseeable future to fund this bridge, with the exception of the possibility of this $150 million infra grant, which is looking like a longer and longer shot as we move forward.
The small pittance of federal money is now getting to be a long shot.
That's correct. I expect to be, in D.C. yet one more time. I mean, Sean, I don't know how many times it's been there meeting with now two U.S. Secretaries of Transportation and two different administrations Somebody showed me a picture of me and Congressman Bernie meeting with Anthony Fox in the Obama administration about this infra grant, which has started off at $250 million. The request from ALDOT to the feds is now down to $150 million, and it just seems that it's going to be a challenge as well. And the big issue there is the national funding. The funding nationally for this thing ranges from about $1 billion to $800 million, and that's for the whole country.
Okay, so yeah, stop. And, what you're saying is the total budget. Wait a second. So y'all, because this is maybe a lot of people hadn't heard this. The total money in play from the feds for these kinds of projects is less than the total of the project.
Yes, correct. Less than half of the total project, and that's one of the things that's so frustrating. You know, I have a lot of people saying the feds need to handle this, and I do not disagree with them. You know, excuse the double negative there, but they're right. The feds need to fund this project. The situation we are in right now is the feds aren't going to fund this project, and they're not going to fund it for the foreseeable future. And our situation is a critical one. Anyone that drives back and forth across the bay on a regular basis knows that. And the situation we're in right now is we've got to make a very real decision. Is the state of Alabama going to be able to step up and provide additional public subsidy, additional public money for the state's coffers in order to fund more of this project? Can we put that burden, the toll burden, on folks that aren't from Mobile and Baldwin County? Can we put it on the folks that are traveling through Louisiana, Florida, Texas, Mississippi? Can we put the burden on them and allow a free route still using the Wallace Tunnel or some other method, or a significantly reduced toll or no toll at all for our local folks? And if that's not something we can achieve, do we say, never mind? Do we just walk away from the project?
Right. Do we have a plan to punt? Is there a plan where we could punt, or is the critical mass, is kinetic energy moving forward so quickly you can't stop it?
No, we can stop it. I mean, there's no question about that. And I would rather not stop it. I'd rather find it that's workable. But I don't know if that's going to happen at this point. We'll just have to see. But right now, I'm fighting to make sure that we have a very, 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 I don't know how to put that any other way, significant reduction in toll for our frequent users, for our local folks, no toll for our frequent users and local folks, which I'd certainly prefer, or some other free route that allows our folks to get back and forth through the Wallace Tunnel without paying a toll, so that we don't put this burden on them.
Yeah, and maybe
failing that, I think we ought to put a pin in this project until we come up with a better funding solution.
And that's what I want to get at. I mean, because maybe opinions change and information gets changed, but I guess a month and a half ago, when I had folks from ALDOT, from ALDOT and the Build the Bridge folks there, they said necessarily. Because I had a kind of a slack jaw moment when they said, well, you know, we've said since the word go, we'd be tolling the Wallace Tunnel. And I said, you know, I can make mistakes, but I just made the assumption that we were talking about specifically the bridge. And they said, no, necessarily we would have to toll the Wallace Tunnel because of it being leaky, I think is, and what they mean is people making the decision to take the free route versus the paid bridge. And they said, so we can't do that because we can't make the money if we do that.
Well, necessarily, this project doesn't need to move forward. If they see it necessary to toll what has already been paid for infrastructure in order to build this new bridge and increase the tax burden, effective tax burden on commuters by 100%. Sean, our folks in Baldwin County and Mobile County that commute are going to see an effective tax burden double from what they're paying in state and local taxes. Brendan Kirby did an excellent piece on this on Fox News not long ago. And it is staggering when you look at what that means. If you count that toll as a tax, which is essentially what it is, it's more than people pay in their state taxes. It's more than people pay in their local taxes. And if we came to Baldwin County and Mobile and say, hey, really need this bridge, we're going to double your taxes. I mean, you'd be seeing the same type of outrage or more than what we've got right now.
Well, we're now.
So they say necessarily, and I say no, thank you. If that's your deal, we'll leave.
Okay, because I mean, you know, we've the comment period is coming gone, right? We're past the deadline on that. A bunch of comments that went in on that. I'll tell you, I have a lot of listeners that don't feel like that's even read or paid attention to. I don't know that that's a factual thing because ALDOT came out responded to it, but they feel like this is. they can't head it off at the pass. You're saying that there is a way that if this is not done differently, that there are people that are going to say no, that you're going to put this on the put this on ice for a while.
That will be my intention. This is 50 years, Sean, of tolling and essentially of taxes for coastal Alabama. That's the decision we're making right now. That's why Senate Bill 154's passage is so important, because it's $100 million in savings right there. That's why so many of these other steps that we're taking are important to really mitigate the cost of this, because we're talking about the foreseeable future. I mean, Sean, this is for us, you and me, this is the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal, and that's why this is such an important issue for me and for the folks I represent.
All right. Well, we appreciate you checking in, and you said that you're looking at probably Friday to be finished in session. And did you get any idea when in the fall the special would be on prisons? Is it a September or October? Is there any talk in the halls there?
I think we're looking at October is what we're looking at right now, but that's the plan.
Okay, and there's enough...
Subject to change, of course.
Well, and that's, I think it's a fair question. You know, we have this, the gorilla in the room, the DOJ, Justice Department, breathing down our neck on this prison reform thing. Is it okay with them after that letter that it's October before the legislature meets again on this?
It is. We have shown them that the state is very serious about it, that it understands the issue, that it's committed to fixing the issue. They have shown us that they are very serious about taking over our prison system and giving us the bill at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody understands that it's time to move forward to solve that problem. And I think you've got some cool heads in the room that are working that out, very complicated issue. But everybody understands that there is a willingness and a need to fix that in the near future, and I think you'll see that handled in the special session this fall.
All right. We'll keep talking about that going forward, and watch what y'all do this week. State Senator Chris Elliott, thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile County Commissioner, candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl, is going to join us. He's got a few things to say about the toll and the lack of federal money. Now, we went from... Remember way back when? Let's hit the time machine. Let's hop in the DeLorean with the butterfly doors and go back in time. Remember when it was an 80-20 issue? And then the other day when I had a slack jaw moment that it was a 7% federal dollars because of the info grant? And now maybe no info grant? Well, how are we going to pay for this? Talk about that with Jerry Carl next.